We're going to take our thoughts tonight. We're going to begin in the third psalm. If we're going to begin in the third psalm. But as I studied this afternoon, as I meditated for the service, my mind was drawn back to similar thoughts I've had for a while, maybe because I live here part of the time too. We live in a time when there's very little optimism concerning either the present or the future. Most people, it seems, have developed a pretty pessimistic view of life. We've experienced some discouraging things, so it's not surprising people are pessimistic. We've had losses, we've had setbacks, things trending the way we didn't wish they'd trend. You know, when we come through disappointments or trouble and trials, they weigh us down, right? I mean, they weigh us down. Even in our Christian life, disappointment and trouble and trial has a way of weighing us down. I chose here in the third psalm. The introduction to the psalm says, the psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. This was a dark day in David's time. It was towards the end. A lot of things had happened. And here his own son had risen up in rebellion against him. Verse 1, he says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. But thou, Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, the lifter of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I lay down and slept, and awakened, for the Lord sustained me. I'll not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. David was in a difficult place, in a hard place, not only in danger. It had to be very disappointing to him, very frustrating, very disappointing overall with what was happening in his life. And yet, here in his prayer, he found the help that he needed. And that help was found in God. He said, Thou art a shield for me, my glory, the lifter of my head. And that's really, when I went searching this afternoon, that's the passage of Scripture that stuck in mind. The lifter stuck in my mind, and that was the lifter up of mine head. Sadness and discouragement are a normal part of this life. We all experience it. The difficulties, losses, disappointments bring a feeling of sadness. And as Christians, we're not exempt from sadness, because we're not exempt from losses and disappointments and trouble. But listen, as a Christian, sadness is not to be our norm. Amen? Do you hear? Sadness is not to be our norm as Christians. We're a people that have joy and thanksgiving. That's our norm. We're a people that have hope, have assurance concerning the future, have a God to look out for us, that know we have promises of better things ahead. One of the dangers during times like we're in, times of losses, disappointments, battles, trouble, one of the dangers is that sadness and hopelessness can become our norm. I know a lot of people today are depressed, and I won't go into a technical definition, but the idea that word has is being pressed down. And depression is when a sense of sadness and a loss of hope start dominating our thinking and our emotions. And there is very little in the world around us today to help us overcome this hopelessness. There is very little. Seems like there's trouble on every side, things shaking, things going the wrong direction on every side. So as you look around the world, there's not going to be much to lift you up. But Jesus Christ came into this world to give us peace and joy and a hope. Isaiah 61:1 says, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Do you notice in this passage, part of the salvation Isaiah was foretelling here, part of that salvation that God prepared for us was joy. He gave us the oil of joy for mourning. He gave us the garment of praise for the the spirit of heaviness. God gives us an anointing of joy and a garment of praise. Joy and praise are to be the normal of this Christian life. Well, why isn't it sometimes? Well, because too often we allow things in this life, the things that's going on in this physical time world, to dominate our thinking, our attention, and our love to such an extent that it robs us of our joy and praise. As a redeemed of the Lord, as God's children, our focus and our love is to be on God. Amen? It's in His presence. It's in the relationship with Him that we find joy and peace and happiness. One of the hindrances to finding peace, joy, and happiness in this Christian life is our focus on this present world only. It's when the things that pertain to this life only take on too much importance. I didn't say everything in life is important to one degree or another. Making a living is important. Relationships with people is important. What happens in our government is important. What happens in our economy is important. But as Christians, we're to balance that by the knowledge of the care of God and the world to come. Matthew 6:19 says, "Lay not up for yourself treasures on heaven, on earth, rather, where moth and rust do corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." You know, our heart becomes pretty entwined with those things we really value. And it's very easy for these things of this life only to almost totally capture our attention and affection. I know it happens. Sometimes I find that happens in my life where almost it's captured almost all my attention. I see people around me, even Christians, where that it's the things of this life have captured almost completely their affections and their attention. Listen now. The joy of the Lord is experienced when our focus is on God. When our focus on God dominates our life, the joy of the Lord is experienced. Psalm 73 and 25 says, "Who have I in heaven but thee? There's none upon earth I desire beside thee." Our joy, now talking to Brother Webster Sunday, got my mind thinking this way. Our joy comes from knowing God. It comes from having the true and living God as our God. From the appreciation of being a child of such a wonderful God. The joy of the Lord is a joy that comes from the security of being in the hands of God. We have a God who knows everything, knows the future, knows the past, knows what's going on now. We have a God who is in control. And not only that, He loves us. And He's planning our path. There's a sense of safety and protection when we are able to grasp that God is looking out for us. There's a delight in knowing that God really loves us and is concerned about us, that He cares for us. Amen? That's where joy comes from. When we're in His presence, when we know He's in control, all the other doubts can fade away. All the other trouble can fade into the background because we know God is over it all. As our passage in the third psalm says, it's God who is the lifter of our head. It says, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head." It's God that lifts our head. Who's got the idea of having your head down is beat down and sad and head bowed. But it's God who lifts our head, who gives us spring in our step, who gives us hope again, who gives us joy in this life. It's He who gives us joy for mourning, gives us a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That means He gives us joy instead of mourning and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. Amen? Joy comes by focusing our mind on God and His love and care. Joy comes from the hope that we find in God's care over us and God's concern for us. Amen? That's how you replace this sadness or mourning with joy. It's by focusing your attention on God. Folks, we are not going to be happy. We're not going to defeat this thing. We're not going to live above the sadness and depression that is set in on our land and country and on most people, including a lot of Christians. We're not going to defeat this thing if we don't get our eyes off of ourselves, off of our problems, off of what's going on around us, at least enough to get our eyes on God. Now, that don't mean live with your head in the sand. It don't mean ignore what's going on. But I tell you what, you get into God's presence and spend some time in His presence. Spend some time in His Word, reinforcing your beliefs, reinforcing your faith. You're going to be able to get your head up, even in the middle of the battle. Amen? Joy, again, joy comes by focusing our mind, our attention on God, His love, and His care, and His concern for us, and His provision for us. Praise is closely associated. Praise is just simply allowing that joy to be expressed. Amen? In time of trial, we need to take care that we don't lose sight of this wonderful salvation, lose our appreciation for what God's done for us, lose our appreciation for the great salvation that God's provided us and the great hope. I tell you what, we ought to make it a practice daily to meditate on the goodness of God, who He is, what He's done. I know I say these things, and I know I challenge us to make thankfulness, to make meditating on God's goodness a part of our daily devotions, to make sure that we don't neglect our daily devotions. But unless, you know, we can say these things, but unless we actually do these things, we're not going to reap the results that we can reap. Amen? Make it a practice to meditate. Not by meditate, I mean read the Scriptures that remind you of God's goodness, God's faithfulness, God's fairness, God's justice, God's salvation. Amen? Because we need to cultivate that appreciation. Because appreciation leads to thankfulness. Amen? Thankfulness is to be part of our Christian life. It's recognizing and being grateful for what God has done. Psalm 69 and 30 says, I'll praise the name of God with a song. I'll magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hooves. You saying? Even in the Old Testament, the writer understood what God really wanted was us to know Him, to see Him, to appreciate Him for who He is, and to love Him in return. And then let that joy and that appreciation ring out in song and thanksgiving. Psalms 95 and 1 says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let's make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that He, the Lord, He is God. It is He that made us, not we ourselves. We're His people, sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. Amen. We are to come into His presence. Whether you be at home or in the building, come into His presence with joy. Meditate long enough. Come into His presence with thanksgiving. Meditate on God long enough that when you go into His presence in prayer, you can do so with joy. Amen? You can do so with thankfulness, with appreciation. We're to put on the garment of praise. He said He'd give us a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Third verse of Isaiah 61 says, grant to those that mourn in Zion oil of gladness instead of mourning, garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness, or another translation said, instead of a faint spirit. The garment of praise is to replace that spirit of heaviness. This is allowing praise for God to well up in our heart and then expressing that praise that lifts the heaviness from us. If you sit and listen to good gospel songs that really praise God, really exalt who He is, it has a way of lifting that spirit of heaviness and replacing it with a garment of praise. When you do that in God's Word, whether you sing or whether you listen, your heart can enter into it. Amen? And allow praise for God to well up in your heart. Psalms 51 and 12 says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit." I'll tell you what, when we find we've lost our joy, we need to seek God to restore the joy of our salvation. I'm going to tell you something. This is the heart of satisfaction in the Christian life. If you lose your joy, you will lose your satisfaction. And if you do so, doubts are sure to follow. Discouragement, disillusionment ain't far off. And if we don't seek to have our joy restored, we're in danger of losing out. Hebrews 12 says, "Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." As I said, it's the joy of the Lord that brings satisfaction and contentment to this Christian life. This is what makes it a happy way. Without it, we're very vulnerable to the attacks of Satan on our faith. Without it, we're susceptible to unbelief. Well, what do we do in times of disappointment, loss, and discouragement? What do we do when our joy and our peace and our hope's nearly gone? We're to run to Him. Get into His presence. Take your burdens there. Tell Him about it. But get into His presence. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." Allow Him to become the focus and attention of your life. Unless you give diligent effort to this, it won't happen. Replace worry with trust. Well, how do you do that? Instead of sitting around mulling over the problems and rolling over how impossible it is, get into God's Word. Read about God. Fill your mind with God's goodness. Fill your mind with God's care. Amen? Allow Him to be your focus and attention. Philippians 4:6, "Be careful for nothing, or don't worry about things, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. What are you filling your mind with? I tell you what you fill your mind with, it can all be true. I mean, you can fill your mind with real facts about what's going on in our political system, our economic system, our education system, our society, streets of our cities. They can all be true. But does it fit this test? He said, "Brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of a good report, be any virtue, any praise, think on these things. Don't worry, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." You know, He's telling us, take your burdens to Him. Let your requests be known, but maintain a thankful attitude. Cultivate a thankful attitude to God for your salvation, for what He's done for you to this point in life, for every good and perfect gift that you've enjoyed. I challenge us, as it will all through the fall, incorporate thanksgiving into every part of your life. Amen? You need reminded. There's going to be enough trouble in your face. There's going to be enough difficulty in your face. You don't have to be reminded of those things. They will be right in front of you. But remind yourself what you have to be thankful for. Make thanksgiving a part of your daily devotions. You can't neglect it just because things are going wrong. Make it part of your daily devotions. Count your blessings. We all have things to be thankful for. If you're saved, if we reason this thing correctly, it outweighs everything else in life. Make thanksgiving a regular part of your prayer life. Make thanksgiving a regular part of your worship. If you're having to worship at home, don't forget to incorporate thanksgiving. If you don't feel comfortable just singing on your own, get some good songs to listen to make thanksgiving and praise part of your regular worship. Guard your mind and your thoughts. Reject thoughts of hopelessness. It is never hopeless with God. That thought of hopelessness is a destroyer of your faith. Don't dwell on your difficulties and problems. I've said this many times. I'm going to say it again. Think on your problems enough to know if you have a solution. There's a lot of them you don't have a solution for, so quit thinking on them. Amen? I know people don't want to do that, but I'm going to tell you, you want to find happiness? You want to be have your head lifted? This is the path, folks. I deal with this stuff daily. Maybe not daily, but I deal with it frequently in my own life. I'm not living in a vacuum where I don't have concerns, I don't have problems. But if we're going to get above them, if we're going to allow God to lift our head, then we need to fill our mind with God and His promises. That's where we find our strength. That's where we find our joy. Learn to praise God from your heart, both in your private devotions and in the public worship of God. God inhabits praise. It means praise is where God's at home. Psalms 22:3 says, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." Real praise always comes up in the presence of God. But I tell you what, it also works the other way. Genuine, heartfelt praise brings a felt presence of God. Real, heartfelt praise and thankfulness moves God. Amen? Let's put on the garment of praise. Let's allow God to give us joy for our mourning, to replace our mourning. Let's allow God to give us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Amen? Allow God to be the lifter of your head in these dark days. I know a lot of you facing, well, difficult things in your own life. If the whole country wasn't in a tailspin, you'd still have trouble. Amen? Well, then you compound that with the whole country. Not does have trouble, and it can feel overwhelming at times. I know that there's a spirit of heaviness or depression that can set in that is very, very difficult to shake. But I'm going to tell you, honestly, the best method for that is to fill your mind and heart with the things of God. Amen? Fill your heart and mind with the goodness of God. Sing His praises. Listen to His praises sung. Get into God's Word. Rehearse in your own mind God's goodness to you. Cultivate thankfulness in your life. We're all going to battle with this. Some of you more than others, I know, right now. But let's do battle. Let's win this battle. Let's let God, allow God to be the lifter of our head. Let's allow God to give us joy for mourning. Let's allow God to give us praise for heaviness in exchange for heaviness. Amen? This is where satisfaction's found. I fear so many today, with the shaking that's going on, may not survive spiritually if they don't get into the presence of God for themselves on a regular basis so that they might be strengthened and might have their joy renewed.